All right, well, good to be here again with you. And we're continuing to journey together on this very easy to talk about, very well discussed topic of handling money God's way. That's what, nobody really has any difficulties doing that, right? Let alone talking about it, right? We're on the third step of the cycle, the third phase, the third stage. So today we get to talk about spending money. And what the Lord has to say for us in that. So go ahead and advance it a little bit more here. So next week we're to read and study the lesson on investment and investing carefully. But today we're talking about spending wisely. So, we're glad to have Hannah as our latest technological person here, as Ron was, Don, excuse me, was mentioning. So, well, I got to thinking about spending money as I was looking over this again and thinking about what is the greatest motivator. What is to be our greatest motivator in spending money wisely? Certainly, we know what our greatest motivator is in spending money unwisely. But certainly, we're gonna look at some benefits, some scriptures that talk about what do I get? What's in it for me, basically, when I spend wisely. And that's really what the cycle is about. The cycle of financial freedom is just that. It's a path to being financially free, no matter how much you earn or how much you have, but being freed up psychologically, freed up emotionally from this issue of finances. And so that's a benefit for me, right, to be personally free in the realm of finances. So that's what I get. But I was thinking that, even larger than that is this whole idea, and it's introduced in here throughout all the chapters, is this whole point of stewardship. And again, it goes back to ownership. That even bigger, wouldn't it be great that if even more important to me than what I would get from wise handling of my money is that I'm simply responding out of a gratitude, a debt of love to the one who actually owns everything and all the money and all that there is. I think of human relationships, and there was some kind of celebration yesterday. I'm still trying to sort out which one that was, but there was a lot of hoopla about it, a lot of advertising, but a lot of money got spent yesterday, right? Or up until yesterday, what is the motivation behind spending that money? And certainly we can pick out and sort through all the motivators of, again, what am I going to get if I spend this money on this person? What's in it for me, right? But deeper than that, isn't there something that is deeper than that? Is out of a gratitude, a debt of love, I'm moved to spend money on this person simply because I love them. And I think, again, similarly, that if I'm in a significant love relationship with the Lord, if love is the bottom line, it's out of that love that I would want to. I wouldn't be thinking, I guess... This is the difference between choosing to spend wisely because, well, that's what he said to do. And, I probably need to do that. and I guess it's going to be better for me in the long run, it looks like, but, you know, kind of this begrudging versus, you know, I wouldn't have anything if it weren't for him. So I actually want to. I would enjoy spending wisely. I think there's a. It may be subtle, and that line might be difficult to find. But I think there's a line there that's, you know. I guess I can't get that because I don't really have the money, or versus, you know, I don't even want to do that. I know who I am, whose I am. I know how much he loves me. And I know how he wants me to handle his money. I don't even want to do that. So just kind of let's think of that framework as we go through here. Is the we're going to go through some practical things about spending wisely, and there's some things in the back of the workbook regarding budgeting and getting out of debt, and some very practical things that we don't have time for this morning to talk about. But as a backdrop for those practical things, I'd like us to kind of think about that motivator. What is it that's motivating you? What you'll get, and that's why, or you know, simply what you want to do, and that's why there's foolish spending, or even on the wise spending, just because, you know, you're trying to gain something for you, or is it out of this love response to who God is? So Proverbs 21:20. You want to click to that one, Hannah? Click to one till there we go. Thank you. This is a very convicting verse, I think. This is you know, and it's not the only one. But here again, I think, you know, what is it that made a person wise? And certainly we can argue specifically it was choices made, you know, it was knowledge of the right thing and then practicing those things and doing that over time, and that has brought wisdom. But even beyond that, the Bible all throughout says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what, you know, what is it that would make one truly wise? The only thing that's going to make one truly wise is, again, love of the Lord, fear of the healthy fear, respect, reverence for the Lord. So the wise have wealth and luxury because they are in this love relationship. Now that doesn't mean, I don't think, that it's a prosperity gospel, that if you love the Lord, you'll be a multimillionaire. And certainly we can look at plenty of scriptures that talk about the fact that true wealth is not in what one possesses, but in their relationship with the Lord and their relationship with others or relationship with their children and so forth. But there is also some significant truth to the fact that it is foolish, that those who spend everything they get would not be considered wise, that they would not be considered a wise person. So Proverbs 21:20 kind of gets us kicked off. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. In the text here, you see this section that says, have you ever noticed how there are some people who seem to make very, very little, but over time, over a lifetime, end up being financially free? You know, there's this story, it's kind of a folklore story, but I think it's pretty accurate, of the pastor of the tiny little church, and, you know, he's in his 70s or 80s, and been making, you know, beans his whole entire life, and he goes into his financial advisor and says, you know, how much is enough for me to be able to retire and not have to work every day? And the financial advisor surmises the situation and looks at who he is and what he's done and is imagining, you probably don't have that. And the man says, well, yes, but just how much would that be? And, well, you know, it was probably larger than you have. Well, how much do you have? And the pastor says, that, well, I, you know, he opens up his bank accounts and this and that, and you know, $3-4 million, and you know, here's a man who knew what it was to earn honestly, give generously, spend wisely, invest carefully, and so we know of those stories where somebody who seems to have very little on a month-to-month basis ends up with quite a bit. And then there are those Hollywood and other sports scene stories, as well as everybody else. If it's true in their circles, it's true in our circles. People who have huge incomes, who at the end of their lives or halfway through have nothing. They've lost it all. It's because of this issue of financial faithfulness. Haggai 1:6 says, "You have planted much but harvested little. You have food to eat but not enough to fill you up. You have wine to drink but not enough to satisfy your thirst." There's no more slides there for the teaching. You have clothing to wear but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. So we're going to look at a diagram that describes this whole situation of how our spending goes. And we're going to liken it to a wide gate and a narrow gate. If you want to draw along with me again on your own page there, if you have your own paper or the bulletin that you got, or page 37 in the workbook. We're looking first at this whole side of foolish spending. And we're going to say a couple of obvious things here. The first one is it hard or easy to enter into foolish spending? Okay. The world makes it quite easy. Quite easy. It's very easy to step into foolish spending. What's one of the easiest? What's one of the ways that the world has made it so easy? Credit cards. It's been a few years, I guess. Even almost 20 years ago, when I was in college, or toward the end of it. We think it's bad today. I can remember 20 years ago, toward the end there, junior, senior year, getting credit card offer after credit card offer after credit card offer after credit card offer, just waiting for somebody, you know, who was about to join the workaday world. It's easy to step into foolish spending, and it's driven by this idea that you deserve something, that it doesn't matter if you have the money to back it up, because you have it here in this plastic card. If you want it, go ahead and get it. This kind of thing. Okay. Wide is the gate, the Bible says, Matthew 7:13. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. So this idea of this wide gate leading to what you are obviously understanding here, to a path of destruction or a not so nice end. This is, of course, not just true of the financial area, right? This is true of every single area of life, that it's easy to start going down the wrong path. We don't need to learn as young children, right? Nobody taught you or anybody else how to lie or cheat or steal, other than it was being done around you and we see it. It was just there, okay? Same thing with spending foolishly. It's easy to get into. Okay. Though it starts out easy, it gets hard. Now, what are some of the hard things that happen? Late payments. Okay, I don't have the money to back it up. Late payments. Therefore, unpaid bills. Collection agencies coming after me. Let alone just the headache and tension of what's going on here, okay, and it leads to slavery. Now, it sounds like a very big word or a very grim picture, but the scripture says the rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave, meaning whoever I owe money to, I am in debt, indebted to them. We can, and it, so, Certainly we can talk about degrees of debt, degrees of slavery. I had my phone off today, but I don't know if something's happening there. But it doesn't matter if it is with, you know, we have, as a country, essentially agreed, Christian and non-Christian, that it's not bad debt to have a mortgage. Right? That's we have essentially agreed that that's good debt. But it is still true. It's still true that if I don't make those payments, it's not my house. It's not my... I'm in a subservient position to the bank or the lending company or the mortgage, no matter what the loan is. Now, of course, that just increases if it is other things like consumer debt and so forth. So we know that the path to spending foolishly is not difficult to get into, but it gets to be a very difficult life once I'm in there. Then, of course, however, this is what God uses. Again, we think about this love relationship, and let's think about the Father for a moment and say, even when I don't do things His way, He still has mercy. He still is there for me. He still loves me. So even though life has become incredibly difficult, it would be very, very difficult to argue biblically that He did that to me as if a thunderbolt from heaven. That, you know, it's my choices that led me to this, to all these difficulties, all these experiences of slavery. And yet, out of the love relationship that my Father has, He will use that. He will transform this experience, of course, if I'm willing. If it gets my attention enough. Okay? So God uses it. Job 36, 8 to 11 is very instructive in this point. If troubles come upon them and they are enslaved and afflicted, He, God, takes the trouble to show them the reason. He shows them their sins, for they have behaved proudly. He gets their attention and says they must turn away from evil. If they listen and obey God, then they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. So the question for us is, how has God been using the financial area of life, what I've been going through, to get my attention? Now, we can look at it at the global picture and say, hey, God's trying to get everybody's attention. Yeah, we can look at all those things and look at the global picture. But on a personal level, I need to stop and say, you know, first of all, where am I here? Am I over here, or am I going to be on the other side when we get there? What's happening in my financial picture on a personal level? And through that, what is God trying to tell me? What is God trying to show me? Okay, so God uses even my foolish spending to get my attention, to help me make a decision to stop spending this way, to start spending His way. The Bible, again, calls people who manage His money His way good stewards. The Bible calls people who manage His money His way good stewards. Luke 16, 10 to 12 says, unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's money, and that's who is spending other people's money? I am. You are. We are. Exactly. We're all spending somebody else's money. Okay? And if you're not faithful with other people's money, why should you be trusted with money of your own? Okay, so this is the wide gate, Matthew 7. There is also a narrow gate. Okay? A very narrow gate, has a very narrow opening. Matthew 7, 14, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Okay? So, of course, this is the gate leading to wise spending. The gate is very, very narrow, very small opening. And this gate starts out hard. Okay, so this is kind of the paradox here. It's very easy to get into the wide gate. It's very hard to get into the, very easy to get into the foolish gate. The foolish spending is very hard to get into the wise spending side. Okay, and it starts out hard because doing things, Anytime I make a complete turnaround, that's not an easy thing to do. Okay, new things, no matter what they are, new things are awkward. They start out difficult. Okay, so some of the things, some of the guidelines. We'll just camp out here for one moment. Some of the guidelines to keep in to keep in mind about wise spending, and these are just broad brushstrokes. Number one is to pay taxes. We've already mentioned that a little bit. I don't want to pay more than, not a penny more than what's due, but I need to pay what's due. God said so. Romans 13:7, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and import duties and give respect and honor to all whom is due. Okay? So, as we go through, there's just kind of five broad brushstroke basics here. And as we go through them, maybe think about which of these five are hard for you or have been hard. Maybe none of them are hard anymore. Okay, maybe some have been hard. Maybe some of them are hard now. One of them is taxes. Okay, is that a hard area for you? Okay, the second one is to take care of necessities. 1 Timothy 5:8. But those who won't care for their own relatives, especially those living in the same household, have denied what we believe. Such people are worse than unbelievers. So we need to take care of the basic necessities. And we talked a little bit about this in our class two weeks ago about what actually are necessities and what are luxuries, what are needs and what are wants. And the Bible does not say that I need to spend my money on wants. It says you need to take care of the necessities, the basic things of shelter, food, things like this for your own family. The third thing, so the first one is pay your taxes. Second thing is take care of your family. The third thing is spend less than you earn. Okay, spend less. So again, we need to look at what, which one of these are hard for us or has been hard. Again, Proverbs 21:20, a different translation says, "There's desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it." So the question I have to ask myself is, am I spending less than I earn? Okay. Now, some people, such as myself, the month's income fluctuates. You never know what that's going to be. A lot of people, although living on commissions and things like that, are in that arena. But I've got to be, no matter what that kind of monthly picture looks like, whether I'm kind of evaluating it over a six-month period when things are high and low, and putting those together, however I look at it, the question is, in the grand picture, am I spending less than I earn or spending more? How many have had trouble with spending more than you? Oh, nobody does. Just okay. The fourth one is practice prompt payments. Okay, do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you." Okay, and the last one is to eliminate debt. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. So if I've gone into debt, I need to honor my obligation to pay it back. Okay. So which would you say you would rather be in? I know I'm pushing the time frame here. Which one of these would you rather be? Would you rather be in this hard stage of wise? It's not easy. It's hard. In fact, it could be incredibly difficult. Would you rather be here? Or would you rather be here? No, they're both tough. But that's the question I have to ask myself: is if I'm over here, will I make the step to come over to the next hard thing? Okay. But the hope is, the good news is that the reverse happens. What started out easy and went to hard here is going the other direction. Once I begin practicing these things and making them habits and changing my thinking and truly believing that God owns it all, and that I'm just a steward, these things become easy. And of course, ultimately, we get to not slavery, but freedom. Which is where we want to be, right? Again, we're not talking about now I'm a multimillionaire. We're talking I have mental, emotional freedom in the financial area, no matter what I'm making, because I am spending wisely, which is what we're talking about today, let alone giving. And then we'll talk next week about investing. So, last thing. This path is very easy to get on. This path is very difficult to get on. But I have to go through something here. And this is the crux of the situation. And that is, it goes through the cross. I have to give up living life on my own. I have to deny myself. I have to follow Him. He was saying to them all in Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Psalm 119:45 says, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Okay? So, this difficult way starts out by going through the cross, which means humbling myself, which means saying, the way I've been spending, the way I what I've been doing, is the wrong way. It's not getting me freedom. It's getting me slavery. And then, on a very practical level, and we can talk about these things as a group. It starts out with things like a budget, a plan. I have to give certainly the lion's share of credit in my personal finances to my wife, who has been very instrumental in saying, we've got to have a budget. We can't spend more than we earn. We've got to stay on track. We need somebody, if it's not ourselves, to say, wait a minute, let's take a time out and make that hard choice. And once a plan is made and once a budget is directed and these kinds of things, it does get easier. But I would have to say, for me, for us, we're not fully in this freedom state. At least we're not fully in that free stage. We still talk. You know, these things can still be stressful and challenging and hard. And so we're over here plenty of the time. We've made a couple. You know, we've made some choices that have led to that in our life of spending money we didn't have and things like this. But the question is, where am I moving? In which direction am I moving? Which half am I spending most of my time on? Am I over here or am I over here? Okay. So that's the lesson on spending wisely. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth. Father, I pray that our hearts and minds would be changed by you, would be moved by you. Thank you for loving us enough to give us a plan and to be patient with us when we don't follow it. We look to you, we need you for all things and all ways. In Jesus' name, amen.